Father, we pray today that you would cause us to have understanding, wisdom, and insight. We pray for it because you said that's something we'd have to pray for every day. We're not just wise because we're born again. We must seek you every day afresh to gain wisdom. You are our wisdom. The Word of God, the written Word of God, inspired by the Spirit, opened up by the Spirit, not read in the flesh, not just read like a man, but inspired and interpreted and opened up by the Holy Spirit, that Word of God is wisdom, because that written Word of God leads us to the living Word of God by the Spirit, that we may hear all the words of God. For we live by every word that is continually and constantly and never-endingly proceeding out of the mouth of God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have sent your word. You have not just given us a book that lays on a table, but this is a living word that's ever vibrant and alive. You have sent it and are continually sending it that we may receive life and joy and peace and all good things and nothing bad. You have not sent us a dark word, but you have sent us a word of light because it's your word, and in you there is no darkness at all. There is no evil, no ugliness, no meanness, no wrath for us, no punishment for us. That is nothing that could ever harm us or hurt us or rob us or cheat us. There is no devil that can stop us. There is no circumstance that could prevent us. There are no weaknesses or sins within us that can diminish us, because you are so great that you are greater than all of our sins and circumstances and devils. And we thank you, Lord God, that he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. Therefore, we know that there is nothing to fear, absolutely nothing. And we can face our fears with faith because we know there is nothing to fear. Even so, we are full of fear. And we thank you, Lord God, that this morning before we're through, we will understand that not only are we filled with fear, but more importantly, we are filled with faith. And we give you all the praise that faith is greater than fear. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. One thing that we discover as Christians is that the righteous sometimes suffer. Those that are righteous, those that are doing right, actually can have problems. How many have discovered that as a Christian, you can sometimes have problems? Quite often, in some cases. And the thought will come up when we have problems is, I guess I've done something wrong. It must be my sin. And since most of us still practice sin a bit, that's a very logical conclusion. But it isn't the Word of God. Sometimes your sins do cause problems. Well, they always cause problems, but sometimes your problems are due to your sin. Other times, however, they are not. And problems come upon us to test us. Not to prove how sinful and awful and terrible we are, but just the opposite. To prove how good and wonderful and great is our God.
Amen.
But we usually interpret trials and temptations as something negative to us, and we think deservedly so, I'm being punished. Or at least God can't help me right now because I'm so bad that he has to let the devil get on me for a little while. In other words, if I were better, probably the devil couldn't get to me as much. And God isn't trying to punish me, but he isn't going to help me either. Because he would like to help me, but I'm so bad that he just can't. So many times we're confused then about everything. And it makes a big difference because you're either filled with fear or filled with faith. You are either filled with fear or filled with faith. And Christians who they know, I have faith, yet find themselves saying, I don't have any faith. I've lost all my faith. Last week I had faith, but this week I just don't have any faith. And the surest sign that you have faith is your ability to admit you don't have any. The surest sign that you have faith is your ability to say, not to people, but to God, God, I don't have any faith in you or in me or in anything. I'm lost. It's hopeless. It's over with. Last week, I know I was a great Christian, but this week, it's finished. I'll never again rejoice. I'll never again be so strong and confident. And so we don't really know who we are, because we really were real, genuine Christians a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. But somehow, things can happen in our lives, experiences, visitations from God, because if he didn't promote them, he at least allowed them, visitations from God that undo us, strip us, break us, humble us, destroy us, slaughter us, and we're no longer happy. We just lost our joy. We've lost our... We had it last week. We don't have it now. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's typical. Not only is it typical, God wants that to happen. That is something God wants. In other words, when you're a new Christian, oftentimes you pray and God will answer. And you pray again and you get another answer. And pretty soon you say, hey, this thing's a piece of cake. No, I just, you know, praise the Lord, and he dwells in the praise of his people, and, you know, and boy, everything's going well, and I prayed the other day, and this happened, and that. And then there comes a time in your life when everything you pray, it goes, not only does he not answer, but it goes against you. You wished you hadn't even prayed. Everyone that you're trying to help, they get cursed worse. And they almost come to you and say, please don't pray anymore. Just don't. I'm serious. You yourself feel, there's no point. What is the point of going on? Because this God who last week was so wonderful, I hate to admit this, but I don't believe in him anymore. I just lost all my faith. I know he's out there somewhere, but I don't know that I know that. So we get all mixed up in our words. We don't know what we're saying. It was so easy last week. It made so much sense. It seemed right. And when the pastor preached that sermon, I believed it. I agreed with it. And when I read my Bible the next day, it seemed so wonderful. And I only thought, if I could only keep this, if I could only sustain this for the rest of my days. And a little fear entered me that said, I really can't be that sure. But I was sure. I was sure God would save my marriage. And he didn't. I was sure that I wouldn't lose my job, but I did. I was sure that disease, the doctor would say, it's all right. Because we all prayed and we all fasted and I was just sure. And the doctor said, it's terrible. I was so sure. I knew that I knew that God would come through. And he didn't. Is this an experience that you've seen someone else go through if you haven't yourself? This was Job's experience. The story of Job is probably, except for the book of Revelation, the other book in the Bible we don't want to read. And I'm going to tell you something, even as the book of Revelation said, blessed is he that readeth, that heareth, and that keepeth this book, and readeth aloud, readeth out loud, just word it right out. That's the one book we don't want to. It's too full of scary stuff. And for the same reason, Job is a book all about a guy who once was blessed and then he got in deep trouble. And even though it comes out good in the end, I don't want to hear about that story. Because that could happen to me and I don't want to have that kind of experience. I'd rather just kind of go along, kind of float along, and I don't want to get into one of those Job things. How many of you would like to have the trials and troubles of Job? Amen, Scott. Praise God. Praise God, because God has answered this prayer. Amen. It's good. It's good.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And the amazing thing is, not only will Scott survive, he'll prosper. Because when we come to the end of ourselves, and all our theology, and all our friends, our family, everything that's sacred and dear, that's when God displays himself. Because God doesn't want us adding to him or helping him or understanding or anything else. And he wants to remove every fear from you. If you have a fear, a little teeny weeny fear, I hope I don't go insane. Have you ever felt that? I hope I never lose my mind. One thing I don't want to do is, you know, just lose all control. That's a fear that you must face. I hope I never get cancer. I hope
I don't ever lose my family. I don't even want to think about it. We must face our fears, because in this world, Jesus said, you have trials, temptations, tribulations, troubles, tests, and you cannot say, I don't want one. If you're a Christian, you have even more than the world has. The thing that's difficult in the world when they have troubles that come against them is they have no God to also blame or bawl out. But as a Christian, when you know God is good, you've heard that God is wonderful, and you've even had some experiences in your life to say, isn't it wonderful what God has done for me? And you know He's good. Then when things go against you, repeatedly, continually, systematically, and you cannot get any relief, any comfort, and every message and every word is not only not a comfort, but it's a stab, it's a knife, it's a wound, then I guess I don't have faith. Well, then I get, you know, and you just drop to the bottom. That's the thing we fear, is because finally I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to stick my finger right in God's face and say, I hate you. And that I fear to do. I don't want to do that, because I have no idea what happens when you do that. I know the Bible says, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is good, but I'm not sure that if I was that bad, He would. I'm not sure that if I killed His son, He would forgive me. I know in the Bible that's true, but I've never experienced it myself. I've heard it with the hearing of the ear that God is good, but I've never experienced that. I've never gotten that low, that down. You see, when I became a Christian, I knew I was a sinner, and I said, I'm sorry, and He forgave me that one time. But then after that, I've done my best to keep up. I've tried to, you know, do as best I could, and so on and so forth. But there's a fear in the back of me that maybe I'll go all the way back to where I once was, and even worse, now that I know Him, I could get mad at Him. I don't want that to happen. I hope He never puts me in that temptation. I hope He never puts me to that trial. But believe me, people, the more you grow, the closer you will come to that trial. You won't go to a newborn. This is for someone who's seasoned in the Lord. This is for someone who's praying and saying, God, I want to know You by experience. I don't want to just hear of You. I want to know You. And all hell will break out. From that hour that you say that, it will not be wonderful and good. It will be terrible and black and dark. Why? Because in the spring of the year, we push the seed down into the ground. And when we put that seed down into the ground, we don't see anything for weeks and weeks, sometimes months. And we must wait, seeing nothing but darkness. That seed lays in the ground. And you go and dig it up in a few days, nothing has changed. If you dig it up a few more days, nothing has changed. You dig it up a few more days, it's even getting rotten. Now that little hard seed not only has no roots on it yet, it's getting rotten and the thing has fallen apart. And if you keep digging it up, it'll never grow. It's full of darkness. Yet God says that seed hath life. And if you'll stick it down in the ground, walk away and leave it alone and not see anything good, but come back at the right time, that seed will bear fruit. That seed will come forth and accomplish great and wondrous things. But faith must bury that seed and leave it. And must not expect to go out and see it day after day. Must go through a season of time where God looks as black as the devil. He looks as hard as a rock. He looks as distant as the far sky. When you do not see, feel, hear, or experience anything good, yet you've been told with the hearing of the ear, and once you even believed, that God was wonderful and good. The story of Job, it's a good story. It's the best story. It's the greatest story. Some say it's the oldest book in the Bible. It's a very ancient text. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, very similar to you and I. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, that's to say that Job did everything that he knew how to do those things that would please God. And that's possible to do. That is possible to be a description of us. And so Job, outwardly and inwardly as much as he knew how, was perfect. That is, he did everything he was told to do. He performed all the things he was to perform. And on the inside, he loved God. And the devil came along and said to God, ha, loves God. Indeed. Sure he loves God. You've blessed him. Look at his life. The reason a man loves you is because nothing ever happened to him. All you have to do is put them through a few negative experiences, and they'll curse you to your face, just like all the rest of humanity. Oh, sure, Job loves you. What's ever happened to the guy? He loves you because he really doesn't know you that well. Just, you know, you put a hedge around the guy. You've had everything go well. What has really gone wrong? I'll show you some people that they've had some bad experiences. They curse you. They curse you. The only reason, the difference between them and Job, is Job hasn't had any negative experiences. You bless the guy. He's not a wonderful guy. Sure, he's wonderful. You know why? You blessed him. Anybody'd do that. It's just intelligent. He actually hates you, though. Just touch his stuff. Just touch his economy. Just touch his family. You'll see he hates you. He doesn't love you, God. And so the devil came before God with a very good case. And God said, hey, by the way, have you noticed my servant Job? Oh, what a guy. Upright and perfect. Fears God and eschews evil. Have you noticed my servant Job? And the devil said, you know, I've been to and fro all over the earth. I have noticed everybody in every land. I've seen, you don't have any folk. Well, you haven't seen Job, have you? Job? Aha, yeah, that's the one guy you put a hedge around. Yeah, well, that's the only guy that likes you, though. Yeah, he's the richest guy in the world. Yeah, sure. Bass is not having any problems. He never has to pay the light bill and, you know, worried about raising taxes where he'll have to give his fair share. Of course he loves you. Of course he's a great Christian. But just touch all that he has and he'll curse you. Touch Hunt and he'll curse you. Touch a man who's been blessed and touch his family and touch his body and they'll curse you. Well, God first of all said, well, devil, don't touch his body. Well, I'll let you touch all his stuff. And so he began to touch one thing after another with God's full permission. Why? Why did God allow a righteous man who is one of his best customers, why did God allow the devil to get to that man? Well, this is a nice guy. This is a guy that, you know, when he tithes, he double tithes. When he makes sacrifices, he overdoes it. He said, you know, perchance, if it just could be that one of my children might have sinned, maybe in his heart. It could be secret. He doesn't even know about it. I'm going to make sure I'm going to make a sacrifice, then another one, just to cover the bases. Have you ever been that way? You know, just to make sure, I want to overdo this a bit. I'm a tither, but I'd like to give another 1% or 2% just to make sure God knows I did this on the gross and not the net. You know, I want to make absolutely certain this was a real tithe. Did you notice, God? I did it just the way you said. And I gave a little bit more and so on. I'm a grateful man. It's sure I'm the richest man in the world, but, you know, still I'm a grateful man. And so he overdid it. He made sure that he had done more than enough so that God couldn't get him. That's called fear. That's called works based upon, driven by, motivated by fear, not faith. If Job did not sacrifice in faith, he sacrificed in fear. But Job loved God. Now, this is a tricky thing. How could a person love God and operate in fear? How could he love God in his heart? Now, let's draw Job's heart. In his heart, Job loves God and has faith. Now, could it be that that same person who loves God and has faith and has a heart full of faith, I mean, just loves God totally, so much so that God bragged on the guy. He loves God, and yet in his soul, not in his spirit, not in his heart of hearts, but in his soul, he is full of fear. Could that be? Is that possible? Because if that were, it would produce out here fear-based works. It would produce that everyone you marry and whatever you do is not based on the love of God, it's actually based on fear. What you do at your job and going to church, your religion, everything that you do, even religious works, are not based really on our faith, but are based actually on fear. Is that possible?
Yeah,
that is. It's possible for a Christian, a true Christian, to be legalistic in his behavior because his soul is full of fear. What is it that makes for fear? Where does fear come from? Where does faith come from? Where does faith cometh? The Bible says faith cometh by what? Hearing. So here, we're going to hear. Now what do we hear? We hear the Word of God. But not the written word, but that word that comes forth as a living word, a rhema. That is, the written word as interpreted by, as manifested by, the Holy Spirit. So as the Holy Spirit reveals to us what's in the written word of God, we're set free. And that brings forth faith. That's how people get saved. So they hear about God, that He's a wonderful God, and He's a forgiver of sins, He's a redeemer, and He's a sustainer of all His children, and suddenly something leaps up inside of us, and we believe. And we're certain that we're certain that we're certain. To the death. To the very death, we know everything's all right. Now that can happen, and yet that same person who has faith in his heart is 100% faith, and yet over here, there might be only 1% faith. And I've got 99% fear. And there is a real deep fear right here. The biggest fear of all. Let's just call that the big fear. Now, a lot of us don't even know what that is. But there's something there that we even fear more than all the other fears. But yet we're operating now by fear, though we're men of faith. So Job was a man of faith that God even recommended. And told to the devil, put him to the test. Put the guy to the test. And the devil was so certain that this man was filled with fear that it was a piece of cake. He said, all I got to do is just touch his body, just touch his family, just touch his wealth, just touch those things that are dear to him, yes, he'll curse you. That man actually doesn't love you at all. And so the fear is being faced now by this person. Job himself, he didn't need the devil and God to argue about this. Job himself knew, I do have a contradiction inside of me. I myself know that I have this fear. I'm not real conscious of it, but I'm not ignorant of it either. I don't look at it every day. I don't face it every day. As a matter of fact, I try not to. I try to avoid looking at it. I don't want to face my fears. But I'm aware that they're there. And sometimes they swamp me and swallow me up, and I work very hard to overcome them, to avoid them. I don't want to see them. Most Christians today are operating in fear, not in faith. We walk by sight and not by faith. So most Christians today, emotionally, not intellectually, if you ask them intellectually, they give you a nice theology. So their mouth, out here their mouth, is mouthing good theology. Good theology. Good answers. Like Job's first answer after God tested him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, honey, I know we've just lost all of our homes. We've lost our fortune. We've lost all of our children. We've lost everything. Our reputation and so on and so forth. But we've got our health, and we've got each other. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She said, curse God and die. Get this stuff over. Job, I despise your theology. It stinketh. I don't believe it one bit. I hate God. I hate you. I hate the whole business. I just want to die. Now, I like Mrs. Job because she's real honest. Her mouth is exactly where she is. You know, she's right there. You'll find out, you know, Mrs. Job is no baloney. This is right there. Let's just get this thing over, curse God, and die. And the devil had said, Job will curse God. And the Bible says that when Job had all these troubles come upon him, one day, It said that he didn't curse God. It said that in all of this, Job was faithful. Job put on sackcloth and ashes. They had been devastated. He rose up and said, don't be like the foolish women. Don't speak like a fool. Honey, is it right that the Lord should give us good and not also give us some evil? Let's take it. Let's bear it with magnanimity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He giveth and he taketh away. Honey, let's just resign ourselves. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Well, that was the first day. What's going to happen to theology like that? What's going to happen to someone whose theology is like that? If the next day God restored everything, you would never know. But this is going to be a test. Sent by God, not designed by the devil. No. God okayed the test. He said, yeah, let's put this to the test. I agree with you, Satan. Amen. How many know you can agree quickly with your adversary? Amen. I agree with you, Satan. You're absolutely right. Let's put this thing to the test. I say that Job's faith is greater than his fears. You say that his fears are greater than his faith. Now, you've got Job on your side here. But I've got Job on my side here. Now we're going to find out whether faith, which doth not yet appear, or fear, is the greater. You see, as long as you don't have experiences, you don't find out. If it's just by hearing, our faith is so great. But as soon as the test comes, suddenly all kinds of things happen, and I find out I don't have any faith. I come to the point emotionally, not intellectually, because intellectually I lie and I say God is good. But emotionally, my emotions begin to fall apart, and my mind still says, Job, hang in there, you can make it, you are strong, buddy. And Job strengthens himself, and he says, you know, I can handle it. I have handled everything up until this hour, I can handle this too. And then the devil comes and says, you know, God, the only reason he's passing your test, I believe I've got the guy already. He's just mouthing that stuff. He's not cursing you with his mouth, but inside he's cursing you. I know it. And the only reason is, let's touch his body. Let's get his health. We've got his family. We've got his fortune. Now, let's touch his health, his person. Then the guy will fall apart. Man, you hit him there, you've got him. We've got him. Let's prove now that this man doesn't have faith. This will scare you. Later we'll get his friends. Those are his intimate friends. Oh, isn't this fun? Isn't this exciting? Isn't this wonderful to find out whether a man has more faith than fear? What a test. Aren't you excited about this test? Let's find out what happens to our friend Job. It's not about you, it's about Job. It's all about Job. Okay. Now, the devil asked a very interesting question in verse 9. He said, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, is Job's faith really in the goodness of God, or isn't it in the hedge? Isn't the reason that Job is so happy? It's because, you know, you bless the guy. All you got to do is take away some of these things, he'll curse you. Because Job really doesn't have faith in you, God. This is really not a faith in you or in your goodness. It's only in the fact that you have proven to him by so many experiences. If you have so many experiences, all these good and wonderful experiences, positive, 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 and only a few little negatives. No. Give him a few negatives like I'll invent. Well, let me at him. I know what he's really afraid of. Let me get this one, this one, this one, and this one. I'll have the guy done in. Because those are his gods. Those are the things that he really fears. He doesn't fear you. He fears those things. Those are his real gods. Let's get those to the test. And all of us have fears along this line. What if my fortune is lost? What if would a man who loses his job and has no ability to get another one, even though he's highly capable and willing to work, would such a man have any value? Could a man still be a man? Wouldn't he be driven lower and lower? Wouldn't that man lose all respect? Wouldn't he begin to fade away, not show up? Wouldn't such a man begin to despise himself? Wouldn't such a man begin to be drunk a lot more? Maybe have a few affairs to comfort himself? Wouldn't such a man no longer feels so good. Yeah, just touch a man's fortune or the family. This often will get to a woman. Just touch her family, her children, and she'll become not a tender Sunday school teacher, but she'll become a ravening bear. You don't touch my kids. Even God dare not. You understand? And a woman can become vicious over this. Or touch a person's health. Suddenly that person that was such an optimistic, positive person, you begin to get to their body, and they had great faith in God up until that moment. Now suddenly they don't believe in anything. Hey, brother, praise God. Don't you believe that God can heal? They did last week when they were praying for the sick. Physician, heal thyself. But you know, when you get sick, it's not easy. It's easy for Pastor Jim, but what if he gets sick? You know what happens when I get sick? I just fall apart. I totally fall apart. I remember when I was in Europe last time, and after Yule's death, and he had malaria, and I left, and I went home, and I got on the airplane, and by the time I got to Brussels, I was deadly sick. And I thought, I got it. I've got malaria. And I'm not even done with my life. And not like Yule, who, you know, he at least had spent his life, you know, witnessing, and so I had hundreds. I haven't even done any of the stuff I was expecting to do. I mean, I'm finished. Here I am in Brussels, in the airport, you know, and I'm keeled over with, I mean, I'm dying. I didn't know. And I went, you know, and you know how you get dizzy, and then pretty soon you get aching and dying, and then, you know, your whole insides come out and everything. And you're dead. You know you're dead. And I remember thinking beforehand, I wonder what's wrong with you. Why doesn't he just have faith in God? Now, here I am in the same situation. I can't even pray. I don't even care about God. It's nothing. I'm just going to die. That's all. I'm just going to die. You know, I hope they find me there. You know, I'm going to die. It's the end. Great man of faith dies in Brussels hotel. It's over. It's over. I'm not at all what I thought I was. Your fears suddenly come upon you. You realize you're nothing. You don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. Yes, I know you'll save me. I hope you'll save me, yes. But I don't really believe much in this guy, really. Because here, over this little thing here of my health, I'm ready to fall apart. I'm ready just to be a pagan again. Job was tested, well tested. And the devil said, if I could give him enough negatives, I could prove to you that his faith was never in you. He doesn't have real faith. He has fake faith. He's a hypocrite. And all Job's friends, which was another test, all the friends, you remember how Job started out? Watch the way he started out. He started out, number one, blessed be the name of the Lord. That was nice. Then the next one was, I curse the day I was born. We're getting a little more real. I cursed the day I was born. I didn't curse God. You know, he didn't curse God. He just cursed the day I was born. I wish I was never born. I hate the fact that I was born. I wish that when my mother brought me forth, I had aborted right then and died. I am so hurt, so grieved, so pained by this world. This world that God is in, that he gave. I hate my life that much. Could God be that God that would allow you to live in that world and experience that much pain? Is that a good God? Could God allow that to come to you, the righteous one? Could the righteous suffer? Job was suffering, and his friends came along to comfort him. And they said to him, Job, you know, I see that, you know, you had a good theology here, and then I see you're cursing the day. I'll tell you what the issue is. You're cursing the day because all your faith is in this stuff. You don't really trust God. You know what your problem is, Joe? You have sinned. You are a hypocrite. You talk a good talk on the outside, but inside, you don't love God at all. And they were dead right. Good theology. Joe, if we were clean, you mean God would be just to punish you? If we were what you say you are, you say that you haven't done any sin, then is God unjust? Look, we sin every day and we confess our sins. So, we're not surprised when these tests and trials come. Job, do you really think you're that good? Don't you think you've sinned a little even? They got this guy, Job. They pumped at him. They knifed at him. They stabbed at him. You know why all this has come upon you? You have sinned. You're just not wanting to admit it, Job. Admit it. You have sinned. It may be a small sin, but you have sinned somewhere. Else God is unjust. God just doesn't go around punishing good people. They were certain. Job was equally certain. God hates me without a cause. God is allowing all this evil to come on me, and he has no right and no reason for doing it. It is not because I've sinned. I refuse to bend. They said, that's it. You are stubborn. You are cocky. Job, you are so stupid. You don't see anything. You're sinning, man. You're accusing God. Job said, I will not bend. This is not my sin. I will not take this. I will not resign myself to this. I refuse to accept it. What do you think of a guy like that? Now, the guy has advanced a bit. We have now moved from blessed be the name of the Lord to I curse the day I was born to I accuse God. That's quite a deal. God even asked him later, do you accuse me to make yourself just? All his friends came against him and said, Job, I don't care what you say, it's got to be your sin. There's nothing left. Why would this scab be on you? Why would these boils be on your body? Why would all this trouble have come upon you? Like, I mean, isn't it obvious this is a test from God? This is not just happening to the public in general. This is an obvious work of God, all happening in one day. Didn't it happen in one day, Job? Yes. And then, you know, I mean, can't you see that if you had confessed the first day, you wouldn't have the boils now? Can't you see the boils are a direct result of the fact that you wouldn't humble yourself? It is definitely your sin. How many believe it's the sin of Job? Yeah, because you're listening to the sermon. The point is, we do believe that. If you listen carefully to their arguments, they are exquisite. Exquisite. They are quoting God. They are biblical. These guys are well, good, super theologians. Man, they've got it down good. Job, it's got to be your sin. Why would God just come along and destroy a guy like that? That would just be arbitrary. Job said, I did not sin. I love it. Now he's lost his mind at this point. He even says at a certain point, I'm confused. I'm definitely confused. It's good. This guy is just losing it all. But one thing, he will not bend or break or yield. He has self-esteem. And he says to himself, you theologians know nothing. You church people are wrong. God does not agree with you. I say I am being punished for no reason whatsoever. There is no reason inside of me that I'm being punished. And Job stood on his integrity. And God later vindicated him. I want you to understand that you're right when you stand on your integrity. This doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah.
No. That's why you need to understand Job. Job was being tested to find out who his gods were. But God knew that he'll come out with an A+ at the end of the test. God wasn't testing him to get him an F. The devil was testing him. He said, let me give him the test. He said, well, give him the test. I've trained him. He's my best man. Go for it. He has much more faith. He doesn't have any fear. Don't worry about it. And all the guy's fears came out. Everything that he ever feared came upon him. Everything he ever feared came upon him. And he thought, if it ever comes upon me, I won't survive. And as it came upon him, he was so grieved he couldn't talk for a long time. He's got nothing to say. This was no longer good theology.
That's right.
His theology was gone by now.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten to that point?
Yeah.
Where all your good theology that you learned, your good evangelical, your good charismatic, your good Catholic, your good whatever theology, is gone. The religious world today is full of theology and full of nonsense.
That's right.
Touch a man, his family, his fortune, his health, his friends. Touch this world, and you'll curse God. Job never cursed God, but he did accuse him to his face. He said, God, I demand I demand of you. Now listen to that very carefully. Do you have a right to demand of God an answer? This is very interesting. The answer is no. But the answer is you must. And in doing that, you will discover who God is. Because if you don't do that, if you do the right thing, it shows that you have resigned yourself to a very evil God. But if you do the wrong thing, which is to accuse God because you have nothing else, this is not your heart speaking now, this is your soul crying out and saying, God, I put the finger right in your face. Answer me. Why did you do this? What right have you? I refuse all your friends. And God loved it. God loved it. Job took on to himself the status of a child. He said, I am a child of God. I want an answer from my father. I want an answer. Yes, it's emotional. Yes, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I don't care. You will answer me. It was emotional. It was wrong. It was just crazy. But God loved it. He said, now there's a man that knows whose child he is. He is demanding of me, his father. He is not counting on my law, which says, don't say that. He's counting on my love that says, whatever you do, it's all right. In the 19th chapter, 25th verse, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And I know that I will see him, not in heaven someday, but on this earth. With my own eyes. I want to experience God. I'm bringing God right down to my size, and I'm going to stand there right equal to him, face to face, and I'm going to demand of him. Well, it was wrong. You cannot bring God right down like that. But God loved it. He said, here's a man that believes. Job said, I don't have any faith. God said, that's your faith.
Amen.
You must have had faith because you stood before me. Before Almighty God, all your friends told you not to do it, but you did it. You even knew not to do it, but you did it. Because your emotions told you, you are worth something. Your emotions said, I don't have to put up with this. Neither from man nor from God. I will not accept that kind of a God. I believe God is better. I've heard of him with the hearing of the ear. Now I must see him with the seeing of the eye. I'm tired of this religion that only promises stuff, and I resign myself to a life of never seeing it. I demand of God. You see, I told you he'd get an A. I want you to understand this. This is not easy. Get the tape and listen to it 100 times if you have to. This visitation from God was not from the devil. It was from God. God okayed it. God said, this test is good for my boy because I already know who he is. I know he's got faith. And when his deepest fear finally came out, he was inching along all his fears, family, friends, everything, finally got down to it. Here was his biggest fear. Is God good? Only. Unconditionally. No matter what. What if I accuse God, stick my finger in his face, do everything wrong, will he cut me off? Does he have even a shred, as my friends have said, of anger toward me? Or will he forgive me even though I did everything wrong? Job's faith came out and finally said, I have no faith then. I question you, God. Yes, I do. And now, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I do. I refuse to just say I'm an idiot. I know what I'm talking about. You come through and give me an answer. I demand it. And he knew he was wrong. And yet, he was right. That's the way a child is. I don't want to be personal, but I'm going to be personal. Tara right now is not here. I told her to come home. I said, I'm your father. I want you to submit to me as your father. I want you to honor your father and mother. I want you to come home, finish school, then you can do your thing. She said, no. I will not. And she wasn't being belligerent. She wasn't being openly rebellious. She was just being belligerent and rebellious. And she just simply said, when God tells me to come home, I will. I taught her that. And now she's using it on me. But I had my scriptures. Honor thy father. You cannot say that you are obeying God and deliberately, openly dishonoring your father. Dad, have you heard God that I am to finish at TCU? And then, yes! Yes! Dad, God told me you'd say that. This girl is stubborn. Emotionally, she is asserting herself and saying, I will take the risk, even if my father rejects me, even if I'm wrong, even if God is not in it, I will not do it till I hear it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. She is wrong. She is wrong. But she is right. Now, it all depends on what you're looking at. I'm proud of her for having the guts. And you know what it is? It's not that she doesn't love me. It's because she does love me. I see in her faith, not fear, to be able to stand up to her father, whom I know she always obeys. And I know if I would have forced her, she would come home. But I told her, I will not force you, which gives her the out then. I will not force you, but I will do everything I can to persuade you. But I leave the freedom to be wrong. You have the right to be wrong. You will survive. Though I will do everything in my power to stop you without forcing you, yet I give you the freedom. I want you to see this for yourself. What you've heard with the hearing of your, and I know she's agonizing over that, I am disobeying my father. And it's causing her great stress. Because she doesn't want to disobey. She wants my blessing. She doesn't want to just go off and do things. Yet, she is defying me. What does the Father do? What shall God do? I tell you, God allows us to be wrong, and we all are. And we do things that we believe are right, but we are not absolutely, totally certain. I tell you, you cannot be certain of things. I said to her, honey, how can you know that this is God? He told me. I know he told you. I said, I've heard God too, and I've been wrong bunches of times. How do you know? I just know. He told me this morning, you know, and she's got her lines down good. Dad, I've asked that very question, and God said, you know, let me just tell what he said. I said, well, honey, you can't hear God that well. I do. I'm better at hearing God than you are, and I don't hear him that well. But I do. You can't win. You can't win. Isn't it fun? And this is pain. This is agony, because I believe she's wrong. It isn't like I could just say, oh, well, let's blow it off. Now, go ahead. You know, do your thing. No, I don't have any peace for that. I know it's not right. I can't blow. I would love to blow it off. I'd love to say, okay, just go ahead and do it, honey. Whatever makes you feel happy, do it. I'm for you. Do it. I can't. Something inside of me says, oppose her with everything you've got. Yet, do not withdraw your love. It's not even an issue. There's no question that it's not an issue. I know it's not an issue. I know it's not an issue with her, and it's not, but it seemeth right now like we're in absolute enmity, opposition. I am creating in her a crisis. I am not letting up. I'm not letting it go. I am continually firing away to say, and I've got another one coming. Even though TCU started last Monday and it's over with, she's definitely not going back to school right now. I lost that one so far. But old dad has some ideas. But I may lose again. You don't know. The issue is love. The issue is unconditional love. She is believing in my unconditional love that says Dad will love me even if I go against him. And that's a terrible thing, isn't it? Would that I could just force her to be good, as when she was 4 or 5. I can't. I won't. I refuse to make her do what's right. Do you understand me? A lot of evangelicals want to go and raid people and bring them out and so on. I believe in God.
Amen.
I believe it's better for us to be exactly where we are and let God work it out. But do not think I'm irresponsible. Do not think, well, why don't you go and do this? Why don't you go and do this? I don't want advice. I don't want any friends. I don't want anyone to help me. If I'm wrong, so be it.
Amen.
But I will not be wrong on one thing. God loves me. God loves her. God loves us unconditionally, and we will work this out, and it doesn't make any difference. We have not lived a whole life, and it's all for naught at all. But we are going through a test. The Bible says, count it all joy when you face various trials, tests, temptations.
Amen.
You all are facing more trials and tests than your neighbors because you love God.
Amen.
When you love God, you cannot expect your life to be trouble-free. When you love God, you not only will have troubles, but your worst fear will come closer and closer as your faith begins to grow. The more your faith grows, the more your fear begins to magnify itself. And it becomes clearer and clearer that you don't have faith. And fear looks like it's going to win. Now that's what God wants. I'm going to tell you something right now. You will survive. Your worst fears, let them come. Now that doesn't mean your worst fears will happen. I just want to tell you something. But you must face them. And the sooner you face them, the better. Face them now. What is it you're afraid of? You must face them. Because the God whom you've heard of with the hearing of the ear, you must experience and see with the seeing of the eye. After Job had told God, God, I demand of you, God actually came down and talked to him. Now, what God could have said, imagine God listening to Job's pointed finger and saying, I demand. And then God came down and said, here I am. And he starts talking to him. He says, now, Job, what is the problem here? And he said, all right. And he listened to him. He let him have his say. He didn't say, silence! I am Almighty God, you don't talk that way to me. Angel, hold that. Job, do you see that bolt? You expect to survive? And Job said, you know, I don't care, send the bolt. Get down here and we're talking this out. Ah, there's a man that knows he's a man. I demand. It's all emotion. It has nothing to do with his spirit. This is a lover of God. This is the way God's children talk to God. Because they live in a world where trouble and terrible things can happen. And God knows it. And God says in this world, rejoice! And we say, no. No. I cannot, will not. Not only cannot, will not. I won't rejoice. And God says, oh, yes, you will. Let's talk this out, Job. And he said, now, Job, I have some questions of you. I want to say some things. Are you through? Yes. And so Job listens to God as he starts talking about the foundation of the world, the creation of snowflakes. Where were you, Job, when I made the hippopotamus? Where were you when I brought forth the mountains? Do you know where the wind comes from? Job, what do you know about anything? Nothing. But one thing. You've done wrong to me, God. And God began to not defend himself, because God did not defend himself. He did not explain how what he had done was right. But he just began to come before Job. And Job, as he listened, he realized this great God who created the universe, who knows everything from beginning to end, whom I can't even touch, is talking to me down on my level. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that I shall see him in this land. At this time, while I'm living, that's my God. I want to experience his love.
Amen.
not His creation, not His glory and His majesty and His power, His redemption.
Amen.
I don't want to just believe in it. I want to see it.
Amen.
And I tell you, when Job was done, he put his hand over his mouth and he said, "Now I know that you are God."
Amen.
"And need none to question you." I'm silent. I have no more questions. I'm peaceful. And I repent totally of my wickedness and sinfulness. Now, what was his wickedness and sinfulness? Not all the stuff those other guys were talking about. But it was that God is good, which actually Job knew all along. That's why he could talk to God like that. Because he said, "I believe my dad will not cut me off. I believe that no matter what I do, if I do the thing I fear most, and I do fear it, I don't believe it's more real than my faith. I believe my faith is stronger than my fear." So the closer you get to God, the more your fears come up, the more troubles come up, the more trials come up. So someone says, "I don't think I want to grow anymore in God. This is too hard. It's killing me." Aha! Exactly. God wants to kill all this flesh so that your spirit can be released. And when it's all done and you've passed the test, your faith will have prevailed.
Amen.
And you will know then what you've heard by the hearing of the ear. I not only have faith in God for salvation, I have faith in God for my daily walk.
Hallelujah.
And I do not fear Him. Now that's every day, it's an everyday experience, but you must experience it one time. So you are now going through a test. I can almost guarantee that 90% of you, the other 10 can pray for the other 90, 90% of you are going through a trial, a test, which is so big that if you don't pass it, you feel your fears will consume you. But if you do pass it, you know that your faith is genuine. You are testing that out. I want you to know, God didn't put that on you. You prayed that in. You're the one that said, "God, show me everything." Now, if you didn't pray that way, it won't happen. If you're not praying that way, if you're just praying, "God, spare me," right, and He will. He is not going to force Himself on anybody. But if you're praying, "I want to know better what's going on in this world. I don't want to live by sight. I want to live by faith. But I'm scared to death. But yet, let's get it over with. Let me face my fears with faith."
Hallelujah.
To the extent that I may say, "I don't even believe in God." That's what I'm afraid to say. I don't want to see that. But you know, when you do, God will be there. He'll be there to give you a gift. It's all right, Jim. I love you. I love you. You can never do anything that would hurt me. You can never do anything or say anything. Sometimes my wife will say awful things to me, terrible things, similar to what I would say. And it hurts. It cuts deep. It's terrible. It's awful. And you have to be able to survive that and say, no matter what, it's okay. And sometimes I say, "Don't say that." I want to stop her because she's being very real. Be phony. Don't be so real. And yet, if she isn't real, then there's no love. There's no faith. I must allow her to be real, which always turns out to be ugly. Are you listening to me? It's like in her own family, she was never allowed to be herself. She was never allowed to say that because you'll get it. Or then God will never bless you or whatever. So it's like, go ahead and say it. Go ahead, you know. And it's not fun. It's not like it's, "Oh yeah, go ahead and say it." It hurts. Cuts deep. Now, do we have faith or do we have fear? There are things we all fear. I don't care who you are. There are things you fear because you don't want to happen. Another one, as I said, was insanity. It showed up as Job was talking. He said, "I don't know if I'm thinking anymore. What's wrong with my mind? I don't want to lose control. I don't want to lose control. Every time I do, I could be hurt. I don't want to be hurt anymore. I've been hurt too much. It's too much." God wants you to say that. God wants you to say that. God, no more. I'm saying to you, no more. Don't you do that again. Now, that's not a sign of your lack of faith. That's a sign of your faith. The faith is not in the fact that God couldn't put something else on you. The faith is in the fact that He's a loving Father. You see the difference? You need a revelation. The faith is not, because you're wrong, he could put on you anything he wants to since he's a loving father and it won't hurt you. But you're saying, I don't want to talk like that. I don't want theology now. I want to tell God what to do. Don't do that. And it's like, who do you think you are? That's what his friends were saying. And God was saying, go ahead, Job. I like it that you're a man. I like it that you're standing up because you are a nothing and I don't have to listen to you. But I want to. I choose to. Go ahead, talk up. You must believe in me. You wouldn't talk up unless you believed in me. You must believe in my love. You know what this tells me is you're doing wrong. It tells me you have faith in me. Do you understand this? It's not what it seems to be. We serve an awesome God. I want you to know your fears are not stronger than your faith. Your faith in the goodness of God is greater than your fears that God could hurt you. He cannot hurt you. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. What the devil intends for evil, God will turn to your good. Regret nothing. Say it. I regret nothing in my life. I regret nothing in my life. Say it again. Say it again. I want to make sure you say this. I regret nothing in my life. I have no regrets. Now, you are flooded with regrets. The truth is, I regret lots of stuff. I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish she had never come into my life. I wish this. I wish this. You're wrong. It is wrong. But it's okay to be wrong. But I want to tell you something. All those things you regret actually are blessings to you. Because they are stripping you and bringing forth your fears. And behind all your fears is faith. And when you get to the bottom, you'll find God.
Hallelujah.
Underneath are the everlasting arms.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Father God, we thank you that this is the day. This is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Everything that's happened in our lives we cannot understand. Some is good and some is not. But you say that everything is working together for our good. Therefore, you say, fear not. Have no fear, which just makes us fear. But thank you, Lord God, that you have brought us to your love in such a way that we're not afraid to see all that. We finally have got the guts, the emotional stability, we're driven because of your love to face our hatred. It was your love to us that caused us to kill your son. Our hatred came out when your love came to us. But when it was over, he said, Father, forgive them. And after we've done our worst, which we must do, there is your best. There is your love. And there is no wrath, no anger, no punishment. Lord God, we are accepted. We are beloved. We are the only people on earth that know this. There are no Buddhist, no Mohammedan, no Confucianist, no New Ager, no New Worlder. No one else knows these wonderful truths that we can survive and prosper and be blessed all the days of our life. Thank God that we have the best God, the only God, the true God, a loving Father in whom is no darkness at all. Oh God, it's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. But it is true. It is true. We are blessed. How happy we are to have such a God. Amen. And amen.